couple of items of housekeeping just to get everybody all caught up here. Both James and Mike are also out today sick. And because of that, we postponed last night's men's class until next week. I have the lessons for the men's class for next week. I've handed them out to some, but if you are interested, the classes will be at 7 o'clock at the major's home. Just see me afterwards, and I'll get you a lesson. It's going to be on a prayer and the types of prayer that we see in the Scriptures. Secondly, on Wednesday evening, we had a young man who was ostensibly here from Texas that was needing some help with gas money. And so we took up a collection. All of you who participated in that, thank you, but you need to know. I just put the bulk of that into the collection plate because it just didn't work out with the young man. He began to request things that I just wasn't willing to give, like to go down to Blackstone and McKinley at about 1 in the morning, and that wasn't happening. And he wasn't willing to ever give a truthful story without changing it in the very next breath. Things like that happen. It's unfortunate. But for those of you who did participate, just know that the money went into the collection plate this morning. When our Lord and Savior was baptized by John the Baptist and he came up out of the water, a dove, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove, descended from heaven, and a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That happens on another occasion, at which point God says, "Hear ye him." Last week we began a discussion on the topic of authority. This is in conjunction with the series of lessons that we just finished on how do I go about choosing a congregation to attend. How do I find the right church? And if you recall, we talked about a lot of the different factors that people will use, the different reasons. Things like, well, you know, everybody there is just so friendly. I love the classes that they have. They offer child care. So I can go there and I need to turn the mic on. Did I get it on, Ron? Am I on now? Okay. I always forget that. I can go there and give my kids to them and they take them into nursery and I don't have to worry about them. Or they offer these great children type events, Halloween parties, dances. Yeah, there's a big one. Or I like to go because, you know, services are just so entertaining. They've got a great band. The chorus is wonderful. And they kind of sing all that modern Christian music. And I'm not knocking that. Some of that's really good music. But that's what they sing and they get everybody. And the one I really like. They got a dynamic speaker. I'm sorry. That's all I can say. What happened to the motivation, to the reasons of saying, they're doing what God wants them to do. That's what I want to do. So I'll go with them. How often do you ever hear that? If ever you hear that. That's what's missing. Why do you think that is? And I'm pretty confident that if we asked however many we got sitting here, 75, 80, if we asked each of us that question, we might have that many different answers of why we think people go that direction. Ultimately, it comes down to this. Their decisions are not based on what the Scriptures teach. Brother Kent read into our hearing this morning, passage from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The King James says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Both are accurate. Both fit. What is this passage saying to us, you and I, as individuals? This is a direct commandment to me that I have the responsibility to look into God's Word and figure out what He's trying to tell me, to find His authority for what I do, for what I say. Everything that we need is found right here in God's Word. Remember the mantra of the Christian that we looked at? Memorize this verse. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17. Brethren, that's our burden. That's the wrong way. Our responsibility. That's the task that you and I have been given. That as we wend our way through the walks of this life, that we make sure that when people look at us, that they see us acting within the Scriptures by the authority of God. That's the commandment. When we choose not to act by the authority of God, then we're choosing to ignore what God has told us. We can't do that. As we begin this topic last week in seeing that authority was absolutely necessary from God, we're going to begin to look at the different types of authority. There is inherent authority. That means that the authority is yours because of who or what you are. Our governments today think they have inherent authority. Too often we as individuals think we have inherent authority. If you're a parent, you had the authority of that child as it was growing up. Why? Because you were a good parent? Not necessarily, but because you were a parent. We make the choice of whether we're going to be good parents or bad parents. But there's an interesting thought to this. Because the other type of authority that is seen in the Scriptures is delegated. And that means that it's this whatever authority that has been given to you, that you have been allowed to exercise that authority. And I'm going to give you an example. When I was growing up, it was okay for my granddaddy to spank me in public if I needed it. He had that authority. That authority has now been taken away from him. If you're a grandparent and you spank your child in public, you have a real good chance of getting in some pretty deep hot water. Because somewhere, some way along the line, our government, who thinks they have inherent authority, has taken it away from us. As a parent, do you know what your children are being taught in school? If mommy or daddy touches you, here's the phone number for CPS. You call them. Boy, it's a good thing we didn't have it when I was a kid. It had been about every other week. Dad did it again. And you know what I quickly found out is it wasn't Dad's fault at all. Differences between inherent and delegated authority. But this is interesting. Notice what it said in Romans 13 and verse 1. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Because they have inherent authority? No. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. You think as a parent you have inherent authority? You do not. You have the authority that God has given you. Raise your child in the way of the Lord. That's a commandment that as a parent we're supposed to do. Spare the rod and spoil the child. These are all examples of authority that God has given us. There is no authority except from God. And that means that the only one with inherent authority is God. Anyone, everyone else who enjoys whatever authority they may have has it only because God has allowed them to have it. And at any moment, God may remove that authority. Look at the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. You, O king, are the head of gold. Babylon, powerful nation, world power at that time. And what happened to him? And God took the authority away from him. And the Medo-Persian kingdom came along. Wow, they're great. They beat up on the Babylonians. They must be all powerful. Yeah, right up until the point that the Grecians came along and took them out. And wow, what a world power that was. Right up to the point to where the Romans came along. And you see how this works? God removes whatever authority God's going to remove, and He does it however He chooses to do it. Brethren, we need to understand that you and I have no authority to make any decisions. Oh, God allows us to make decisions, but understand that that's the authority God has given us. And this is actually, this discussion is starting slow. I apologize for that, but it's actually going somewhere. Okay, so bear with me just a moment. How, and the discussion of how and where we get authority to do what we do and how we do it, of a necessity, becomes a discussion of God's Word. Why? Well, we've already established that the only authority in this world, anywhere, comes from God. So, is God talking to me specifically? You know, at night I hear that, girl. It doesn't happen. But God is talking to me and has talked to me in His Word. And this is where His authority for me, for you, is revealed. If I want to make it through this life and make the right decisions, there's only one place to go and look. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord. He has given you and I everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Where? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through the knowledge of God. And where does that knowledge come from? Study to show yourself approved. So that you won't be ashamed. Rightly dividing God's Word. That means, brethren, that we are fulfilling our responsibility to look into God's Word. Don't raise your hand. How many times do you open your Bible a week? How many times do you study God's Word a week? Daily? No, two or three times a week. Oh, when I have time. How does that fit to be us being diligent to study God's Word? Food for thought. So, as we begin this discussion of authority, we're going to try to trace how God chose to reveal His authority to man. There are at least four words, and I think there's more, that are translated as authority in the Scriptures. And they all have definitions. All these definitions come from Strong. There's... That wasn't the one I was looking for. Shock of all shocks. There is epo. Hereo. Strong says that's pronounced hereo, though it looks like theo to me. And femi. Epo is a primary verb, and it means to speak or to say by word or writing. Hereo means to call, is also translated as to speak or to say, also includes the idea of telling or revealing something to somebody. Hereo means to command or to make or to say. Femi means to affirm or to say. And if you see the golden thread there, it's all this idea of saying or speaking, the oral of giving things. I do want to back up. When we apply those things to this idea of authority, what we see in the scriptures is a direct command. Do it. We see approved example. So if we see the first century church, the New Testament church, and or the apostles engaging in something, chances are pretty good we need to be engaging in that same something. And then we see a necessary inference. We're going to be talking about these things as we go through them, as we move along. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. That oracle of God means God's words, what God has said or established of authority. And you come to need milk and not solid food. To be both pleasing to God and to be growing as Christians, brethren, we need to know what God has told us. I cannot do what God wants me to do if He hasn't told me what to do. We looked hard last week at Nadab and Abihu. God had given them a specific commandment: burn the incense in the fire pan. God had also told them exactly how to do it. Take fire from the altar and put it in the pan. They had a better idea. Oh, look, I've got a new bick. I'll use it to light the incense. And God struck them dead. Why? They burned incense like He commanded, but they didn't fulfill the commandment the way He said. Brethren, we need to study. We need to know what God is telling us to do, and we need to know how to do it. And the only way that happens is if I look into His Word. Oh, somebody can tell me. I don't know about you, but I grew up knowing that every Sunday evening services were at 7 o'clock. And every Wednesday evening services began at 7:30. That was scriptural. Right up to the point to where some heretic decided that we needed to start at 7 on Wednesday night because the kids need to get home and go to bed for school. And you know, wouldn't it be a lot easier if we met at 6 on Sunday? You'd have thought the world was coming to an end. Because that's what I had always been told. And now at 5 o'clock, I got news for you. We're all lost. But you see, that's the problem with hearing what somebody's telling us. This is the exact problem that we were talking about in class with the Pharisees. Christ says, don't let the leaven of the Pharisees permeate through you and affect you and change you. Their leaven is hypocrisy. They were teaching the precepts of man as doctrine of God. That's the danger. I want to point out something as we look in Matthew chapter 4. See, even Satan understands the concept of the absolute authority of God. So the tempter, that's Satan, came to him, Christ, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, is Satan saying here, is he questioning the heritage of Jesus? If you're the Son of God, prove to me you're the Son of God? No, you see, that's not the point. Satan already knew exactly who Jesus was, what he was trying to get Jesus to do was to engage with him. And brethren, anytime we engage with Satan, we're on the losing end of that stick. Jesus wouldn't do it. Satan, even Satan, understands the absolute and supreme authority of Jesus. He doesn't question the ability of Jesus here to turn the bread in, or the stone into bread. He just demands that he does it. He already knew Jesus had the ability, had the power.
He only questions whether or not Jesus was ready to reveal himself. Satan knew that he had that power. And before long, even the people began to understand. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36, amazement came upon them all, and they began discussing with one another, saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." They recognized that it took authority, that it took power for Jesus to do what Jesus was doing. Remember Matthew 28. Jesus says there, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." God has inherent authority. All other authority is delegated. Jesus says that God had given him all authority. And in turn, Matthew 18 and verse 18, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The proper translation of that is, "Whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven." Jesus wasn't given the disciples the authority, the power to go out and make doctrine. What he was giving them the authority to do was to go out and reveal the doctrine that had already been made. That's our authority. That's what we're told to do. The apostles carried the authority of Christ to the world through their teaching and examples. Christians in the early church understood that to come to God through Christ, they needed to respond to that authority. Reading the Word, hearing it, believing it, changing their will to the will of God, confessing Christ as the Son of the living God, and in faithful obedience, being baptized for the remission of their sins. And notice what we read in Acts chapter 2. "So then those who had received His Word were baptized. They were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer." What did they devote themselves to? The Word of God. And practicing the Word of God. Breaking of bread, prayer. "And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." Brethren, the authority of Christ was fully exercised by the apostles. They did what they were commanded to do. When we do what Christ, what God has commanded us to do in their word, having revealed their commandments and laws to us, when we do that, then what the world sees is the authority of God and the authority of Christ, not mine. I have none. I act upon what God has told me to do. The Scriptures are perfect, and they are complete, and they are therefore sufficient. We see that in 2 Peter, 2 Timothy 3, Jude 3. We're only going to read one of those in 2 Peter chapter 1. "Grace and peace be multiplied." Oh, we read this. "Multiplied to you, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." We're all familiar with the passage from 2 Timothy. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God," that should be you and I, "is complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." And we are forbidden to add to or to go beyond those writings. We see that in Galatians 1, John, or 2 John, and in 1 Corinthians 14, reading the passage from 2 John and verse 9. "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. See, there's the question. Do you want to have God? You want God in your life? There's only one way to do it. Abide in the teaching. Abide by the authority. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord. We must follow the apostolic pattern. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Now notice what Paul writes. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's example. What do we see in Paul? We see someone who's going about trying to do what God wants them to do. There's a lot of examples of this. The one that you might be familiar with is Benny Zingarelli. That's a name from the past. She lived across the street from Denton and Phyllis Thompson when they lived over here on Bond. Every service, she saw them get up, get their kids dressed, put them in a car, and come to church. She dealt with Phyllis. They were neighbors. Borrowed sugar from her, I'm sure. If not sugar, maybe an egg. One day, Benny walked across the street and said, Denton, I don't know what you have, but I want it. By example, she was drawn to the Lord. They began to teach her, and Benny became a Christian and was faithful until her death, to my knowledge. What a wonderful story that is. When we see and do what we're supposed to do, because we've seen it being done, we can come to God. Isn't that the point of Hebrews 10:25? Don't forsake the assembling. Why? Because you're an encouragement. You're an example to others. Someone's horn is going off. If we all on the count of three push our buttons and then push them. Be aware, there is a horn going off. I don't know whose car it is. Paul has shown us in this passage exactly what we were talking about earlier in terms of how do we ascertain the authority of God? How do we establish from the Scriptures God's authority? Paul tells us right there in verse 9 of Philippians 4. He says, the things that you have learned and received. That, brethren, is direct command. He talks about the things that you have seen. That's apostolic or approved example. Now note, he says, practice these things. Go do them. And that, brethren, is necessary inference. What authority do we have for this building? Because if we have no authority, we need to get rid of the building. It's that simple. Do we have authority? Well, the answer is yes. It's implied. It's necessarily inferred. Hebrews 10:25, passage we just talked about, said, don't forsake the assembling of the saints together. Where? We've got examples of them meeting in homes. Okay, we could all meet in a home. Who here has a home big enough for this group of people? I don't. We could meet in homes. We could go outside and meet on a mount, and then we could all have sermons on the mount. But you know what? There is an example of a room being rented for them to gather in. Did you know that? Christ took money and gave it to the disciples and said, go see this man. It's already been arranged, and we're going to rent that room. Do we have authority for a place to gather? The answer is yes, we do. That's necessarily inferred for us to keep the commandment of assemble together. That's what that's talking about. We've been quoting this passage, but notice this in Hebrews. I'm just getting ahead of myself here. Let's back up. Let me catch back up. I apologize. So any discussion of how we are going to ascertain God's authority has to begin with that idea of direct command. And you know, on the surface, it would really seem that this should be the easiest thing, shouldn't it? God says it, I do it. Okay. Not that hard. But boy, I'm going to tell you what. Dad would say, go out and mow the lawns and clean up the yard. Well, my idea was to set them, because it was a push mower, let me keep that in mind. This is pre-power mower days. I'd get the blade up as high as I could get it. Because then I could literally run across the lawn. And it might catch a stray weed or two that had grown up. And then I would take the edger. Dad had one of those. You ever use one of those old hand edgers with the rubber wheel that had already been worn off it? You could spend hours edging 5 feet. And I would tilt it so the blade didn't even hit the grass. And off I'd go. I'd run through. I'd be done in about 15 minutes. And I'd come in, get ready to go out and play. And Dad said, you do what I told you to do. Well, yeah, Dad. He had given me a direct commandment. Go clean up the yard and mow it. Dad's idea and perception of cleaning up the yard and mowing it were vastly different than mine. You see, that's how people tend to view God's word. God says to do something, and we immediately begin to look for loopholes or ways to get around it. I used to tell my children, go clean up your room. And I'd walk in, the room would look spotless. Right up to the point till I looked under the bed. And the bed, and I knew to look there because it had actually come up off the ground about 6 inches. And everything there had been stuffed under. Or one time I walked in and opened up the closet, which was the wrong thing to do. You've all seen the pictures of stuff coming out of the closet. Looked like a typhoon wave, a tsunami coming out of there. We need to do God's word the way God says to do it. Direct commands are the most classic expressions of authority. God says, do this. That was the example of Nadab and Abihu. God told them what fire to use. Direct command. And they chose not to do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I knew I'd skipped a bunch, I apologize. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Brethren, that's a direct command. No way to get around that. That's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Partake of the bread. Partake of the fruit of the vine. Paul received the instruction for the memorial from the Lord and gave it to the church by his. That's not Paul's authority. That's the authority of Jesus Christ. What we do needs to be by the authority of what is revealed to us in God's holy word. If it is not, we are actively working against what God has told us. And if you were in class, you remember what that definition is. That now brings us to Hebrews 10, which we've already mentioned. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That means be diligent to study to show yourself approved. The passage we looked at. That's what that means. And add to that, in accordance with God's word, I need to think about how can I help you? How can you help me? And I'm going to tell you right now, For some of you that are here this morning that have struggles with health, that find it difficult to even get out of bed and get dressed, and you're here, thank you. That is such an encouragement. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm getting to that point now to where getting up from out of bed is hard. Getting up out of my couch is harder. And Karen will tell you, I stand up and I'm like this. I got to get my feet under me and get my balance. Then I can move along. Michael shaking his head, you don't have that problem yet. But you see, you're here. And for me, that is such an encouragement and an exhortation. Thank you. And I can't, if I say that every sermon, I mean it. Thank you. It can't be said enough. And how do we do that? We do that by keeping the commandment. And that verse 25 is a direct commandment. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Does that mean only Sunday morning? Think about it. I'm going to tell you what. Tonight at 5 o'clock, I know it's not scriptural hour. Tonight at 5 o'clock, there will be an assembling of the saints here. There will be. Is that what that passage is referring to? How about on Wednesday at 7 o'clock? There will be an assembling of the saints here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Is that what that's talking about? You have to make that decision for yourself. I can't tell you. The faithful Christian is commanded to not make a practice of missing the assemblies. Even though people tend to ignore or compromise what God's Word has said, here's the point. That doesn't change the impact of God's Word. And there will be a time when each and every one of us will stand accountable to this standard. We can ignore it now. We can choose to just slough it off, burn it, throw it away. I don't care. That's our choice. And God allows us that choice. But we don't get to choose by which standard we will be judged. We get to choose by which standard we will live. But this is the standard by which we're going to be judged. And it's given unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. God's direct commands are not difficult. It's very easy to see what He is commanding us to do. He says, sing and make melody in your heart. He says, lay by in store upon the first day of the week. Paul, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 11, he tells us to take the bread, to take the fruit of the vine, and to do so in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, His dying upon the cross, giving His body, shedding His blood, and to remember and to recognize the power of God that raised Him from the grave. Those are commandments. When we respond to the authority of God's Word in faithful obedience, we place ourselves in a position to partake of the divine grace and mercy that God offers to all those that are faithful and obedient. Quick summary of what we have seen so far. All authority comes from God in Romans 13:1. Christ was given all authority by God in Matthew 28. He gave authority to His disciples. And only by exercising the authority given by God in the Scriptures can man find salvation. And all authority that we need is found in the Scriptures. Brethren, salvation is revealed in God's Word, the Gospel, Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's authority. That's what it means to look into God's Word and to see, what is God telling me? As we saw in Philippians chapter 4, Paul illustrates for us direct commandments, what you have learned, what you have seen, an apostolic or approved example, and how you practice doing the things that God has given you to do. Necessary inference. When we study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, we are trying to find what God tells me I need to do to be saved. And there are things God has told me I need to do. I need to hear His Word. I need to believe it. I need to change my will to His will. I need to confess Christ as the Son of the living God. And as we see in 1 Peter chapter 3, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The faith that we claim to have in God is defined by the choices that we make. I can stand before you and say, I believe. Look at me, all of you. I believe. And I walk out the door and I absolutely do virtually nothing that God has told me to do. My claim is a lie. Nothing but. My actions, my words define my faith. Reveal my faith. And it's seen by the world. When people look at me, do they see the authority of Christ living in me? If they don't, I am lost. If I have not come to God through Jesus Christ in faithful obedience, being baptized for the remission of my sins, I am lost. If having gone through those steps, I decided to follow a different path. You know, that guy's a dynamic speaker. I think I'm just going to go and sit and do what he says to do. I'm lost. God's invitation through Jesus Christ is to come to me and I will give you rest. I'll forgive you of your sins. And all we have to do once we're saved is what we saw in Acts chapter 2. Follow the apostles' teaching. Partake of the Lord's Supper. Do what God wants us to do. If you're here this morning and subject to God's invitation, we would invite you to come as together we stand and sing.